Afternoon Stretch. Bruno Reagan, Devlin McKenzie, Zach Williams here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Time to go to the Cure Hotline, 615-844-5600. Weekly hit with the Tennessean's own Aria Gerson. Of course, Vandy beat writer for the Tennessean. You can follow her on Twitter at @Aria_Gerson. Aria, thank you so much for jumping on with us, because typically we're on Wednesdays and we had to do a Tuesday because we just don't work on Wednesdays anymore ever since we started doing our weekly hits with you.
Well, thank you for having me.
So Vandy coming off the bye week, obviously not too much to learn from it. What has been some of the news, if any, that has come out so far over there on West End?
Well, I think Vanderbilt, for the most part, has been getting healthier. There's a lot of players who are injured who will be back this week, including Jalen Mahoney, Braden Bapp, Xavier Castillo. Those guys will be back, although we did find out today that Bradley Mann, freshman defensive lineman, is out for the season. So he's out, but pretty much everybody else, save for Davion Davis, who has been out with injuries, is expected to be back this week.
So some injuries, obviously, that are coming out of this, and, you know, bye week. Have you heard anything from Clark Lee on the side of, you know, more strategy talk, or has it been kind of quiet on that side?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we've asked a lot about Mike Wright's role. That's been a hot topic. And he's continually said he's trying to find a way to use Mike Wright, but it's going to be more of a situational thing as opposed to giving Mike Wright entire drives or rotating him in with A.J. Swan. He says he's not going to do that. Now, he also said that Mike Wright was going to start against Northern Illinois, but I also think that Clark Lee is probably telling the truth here. With that usage, he won't obviously reveal specific plays or when he might use them. I think it was kind of pointless to use them against Alabama, but maybe if they're in, you know, a little bit of a closer game, we might see those. And obviously, you know, who knows, Ole Miss is kind of up-tempo. They've got a really good offense. And so he knows that, you know, they've got to rotate in a lot of players and try to keep up with that.
Talking with Aria Gerson, Vandy beat writer for the Tennessean. Follow her on Twitter at @Aria_Gerson. Bruno Reagan, say hello to your dear old friend, Aria Gerson.
Hello, Aria. Listen, Aria, it's no secret. They're going, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's back-to-back-to-back top 10 teams, right? So they had Bama bye week, then it's going to be Ole Miss, then it's going to be Georgia. Has anyone asked Clark Lee, you know, how he's going to kind of react to that stretch, if there's expectations to it? Because let's be honest, we don't expect him to win, but I wonder if he spoke on, you know, that straight of games.
He hasn't spoken on that specifically, but I think he has said, you know, he's hoping for some improvement and experience from the younger players just when it comes to, you know, getting more experience in SEC games. I think he does expect to compete. He pointed out that last year's defense against Ole Miss, even though it was probably their best defensive game that they played all season, you know, wasn't good enough. They want to do better than that. You know, they still have a goal of making it to a bowl game, which they don't have to beat any of these teams to make it to a bowl game. But, you know, they are setting, you know, the bar fairly high when it comes to what kind of performance they're expecting.
Yeah, for sure. Bowl game, I mean, a bowl game is going to be tough, and I'm sure the coaches and the players kind of know who in the back of the head they have to beat. I would guess it's a Missouri, South Carolina. If they did go to a bowl game, Aria, it has to be Mizzou, South Carolina. Who would be the third team you think they knock off to earn that bowl game?
Yeah, I think maybe Florida. Ooh. Or, hey, maybe even Tennessee. I think Tennessee's really good this year, but that game has been very unpredictable over the past several years, so maybe even that, but I think probably just in terms of how well Vanderbilt matches up with the remaining teams on their schedule, probably Florida would be the most likely one remaining.
Talking with Aria Gerson, you can follow her on Twitter once again, @Aria_Gerson. You know, this past week of SEC slate games, obviously you cover Vandy, but I know you keep your ear and your eye to the grindstone there with all these games. you know, teams like Georgia, teams like what we've seen out of the East so far, outside of Tennessee, even though Georgia still has that number two next to him, it feels like Vandy can have a shot in a game with any team in the East, fair?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the middle of the SEC has looked very unsettled this year. It feels like we don't really know who the best teams are. I still think it's Alabama and Georgia at the top. But beyond that, you know, we don't really know. I tweeted this past week, you might have seen, I said Missouri, you know, playing with Georgia last week was the one way that Vanderbilt could lose their bye week. And, you know, what I meant by that is just sort of the inclination that Mizzou had not shown much of a pulse prior to that. They had that horrible game against Auburn. They got blown out by Kansas State. And, you know, seeing them play with Georgia was kind of a, you know, reminder that, you know, Vanderbilt doesn't have any easy games remaining. But, you know, I think any of the teams could be beatable in a particular game. Like if Missouri plays the way it did against Kansas State, that's a very different team than the way they played against Georgia. So it depends on, you know, what version of each opponent kind of shows up on any given day. I feel like it makes it very unpredictable.
And obviously now looking towards Saturday, Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss showing up here in Nashville. This is obviously a rival matchup that Vanderbilt has had for such a long time. Have you noticed any extra juice from the team? Has there been any extra kind of feelings coming out of this? And what do you expect of this Ole Miss squad coming in?
I think they're basically treating this like any other opponent. I think that, you know, obviously they're excited to play Ole Miss, particularly at home, coming off the bye. I haven't seen a ton of, you know, rivalry talk about it, but I also think, you know, the fact that this was one of the better SEC games that they played last season, and they ended up matching it better with Ole Miss than I think a lot of people thought. So just that aspect of it, you know, gives the idea that they could potentially make it interesting at the very least.
Talking with Aria Gerson. You can follow her on Twitter once again at @Aria_Gerson. This Ole Miss team, I mean, with Clark Lee, it feels like there's two, and we're actually going to have Clark Lee on at 5:05 today. So you're leading off here with the whole Vandy talk today, Aria. But with Clark Lee taking on Lane Kiffin, doesn't that feel like such two different styles of just head coach in general? One guy obviously doesn't show any emotion really on the sideline, and Clark Lee, and then Lane Kiffin, who will pretty much go after his own fan base immediately after a game for them leaving at the second half.
They're definitely very different when it comes to coaching styles, for sure. It's kind of like when Tim Corbin and Tony Vitello match up, just completely different. And obviously, you know, the styles that they play on the field are pretty different. But I also think that that is kind of how Vanderbilt was able to play with them for most of the game when they played last year as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't even – when you said the Vitello and Corbin, obviously, that's another one where it's just that Vandy is – what's the word? Is there a Vandy way, Bruno, or something that
– I guess they're trying to make it. I was thinking more like Scott that was married to the Kardashian and Marcus Aurelius. That was like the two like oddballs. But I guess that Tim Corbin, Tony Vitello is a way better comparison than what I
thought.
I
mean, yours just feels like it was on the other side of the moon right then.
Yeah,
but
I know. That was – but she nailed it down to – perfect. Yeah, that's an even better question. I think they kind of do. That does seem like the Vandy way, sort of like, you know, I don't know, just
quiet, reserved, and do your job.
It really feels like falling in line sometimes, too, yeah. To be honest.
Yeah. There has to be some of that, I guess. But with this, I mean, this Clark Lee led team, I mean, so far it feels like, Aria, your thoughts on this, it feels like they're on the upward trajectory still, no matter what happens with the rest of this SEC play. I think we're all kind of on the board that we think there's going to be an SEC win that comes out of this. But even if they don't get one this year, it's still an uptick from where they've been in years past, fair?
I do think that they look much improved this year, and I think that some of the indicators as far as it comes to the coaching – have been pretty positive. For instance, one thing that I look at is penalties. Like, teams that commit a lot of penalties tend to be poorly coached. And Vanderbilt is actually third in the SEC with fewest penalties committed per game, which I think is a good sign, because you got to play pretty clean to beat an SEC opponent when you have the kind of talent deficit that they have. They haven't been turning the ball over a lot. They've been forcing a decent number of turnovers. You know, they've been kind of, they've been kind of doing what they can with what they've got, I guess is how I would put it. So it's definitely better than last year. And I think, you know, last year they had trouble beating UConn. Now, you know, UConn, obviously this year, they just won a game on Saturday against an FBS team. But, you know, I think if Vanderbilt played UConn this year, that game would go a lot differently.
Now, Aria, I guess last question I personally have for you. I think at Vanderbilt, a lot of times you can get caught up in when you're on these downward, like where Derek Mason left the team, you know, it was basically rock bottom. And now we're starting to see some improvement. We're optimistic. But I'm just wondering where, you know, what kind of leeway, leeway does Clark Lee get? You know, if we come out next season, like say we win four games this year and then we win four games next year, should we still be, you know, optimistic? Or what's the outlook? Does there have to be constant improvement year by year until Atlanta, or what, you know, when do we start being less optimistic?
I think there needs to be improvement, but I'm not sure if the metrics that, you know, would be being used to evaluate him are necessarily always wins and losses. Now, I do, you know, having looked at the schedule for next year, obviously you never know what's going to happen with the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff, but it looks a lot easier than this year's schedule. So I do think it's fair to expect more wins next year. That being said, when you play in the SEC, sometimes the scheduling is just going to be such that you're not always going to win more games, depending on who the crossover opponents are and who you're playing on the road. And, you know, we don't even know what the SEC scheduling is going to look like with, you know, they might go to 9 conference games. Texas and Oklahoma are joining and all of that. So we don't really know, but I think when it comes to looking at improvement, there's other numbers besides wins and losses. Like, again, are the teams playing disciplined? Are they avoiding turnovers, avoiding penalties? Are the special teams, you know, going pretty well? Those are kind of metrics of, like, if the team is well coached. Are the players getting better when they come there? That's a big one that I look at. Is the program starting to produce NFL draft picks? Things like that. That's the kind of thing that I think is going to be more of an indicator than the actual record. And if those things start to stagnate, that's when I would have concern.
Talking with Aria Gerson. Once again, go follow her on Twitter, Vandy beat writer for the Tennessean at @Aria_Gerson. I'm looking here. I want to kind of change up a little bit on it. Keep it with Vanderbilt, obviously. But I was looking on the Tennessean, and I saw you're already giving out Vanderbilt basketball. What's going on with Vanderbilt basketball as we're getting close to basketball season just around the corner here?
Yeah, basketball starts in just over a month. And we talked to Jerry Stackhouse last Thursday, and he said that pretty much everybody is healthy in the preseason other than Graham Calton, who's a walk-on who has had some back spasms. But outside of him, everyone is healthy, which is definitely different from last year. And it sounds like there's going to be a lot of different options at various positions. There might be more rotation, more depth than there was last year. There's a couple different point guard options. There's a lot of different options at center and power forward. And so, you know, there's not going to be that star player necessarily with Scottie Pippen Jr., but I do think that, you know, the depth might be a little bit better than it was last year.
Since we're in October, and just because I feel like every time I still haven't met, see, Bruno's met Aria. I haven't met Aria in person. I think we've been around the same waters, but just never, you know, the handshake hasn't happened, that kind of thing. Are you a Halloween kind of girl? Like, is it, once it's October, it's just like, is it spooky season right away in the Gerson household?
I don't know. It's, you know, ever since I've worked in sports, I have to work on Halloween half the time. So I kind of feel like I don't celebrate it a ton, but this year, you know, it's a Monday and I don't always have events going on, so maybe I will actually be able to celebrate this year.
Do you sit back and watch the, like, do you have a top, what's your top Halloween movie when you're like kind of wanting to, when you're wanting to watch something spooky?
Ooh. Well, I don't know. I think there's some, you know, as a kid, my family and I always used to watch like the Charlie Brown Halloween special. So that's not spooky, but that's definitely the nostalgic choice. I feel like if I'm wanting to just like go back to like when I was a kid and when I actually like Halloween was, you know, super, super fun event, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Bruno's never seen it, but it's the, I got a chocolate bar, I got a lollipop, I got a rock.
I'm sure I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, you've probably seen it just in passing, but there's no shot you watched it. Aria, thank you so much for joining us. Remember, you can catch all our work on The Tennessean Covers Vandy. You can follow her on Twitter as well at @Aria_Gerson. Aria, thank you so much for jumping on.
Thank you.
Aria Gerson, always good stuff with Aria. Bruno gets